just think, I think the numbers are saying that, and you know, we get these numbers every year, but I would really like to see something happen with the numbers and, you know, give us a plan for what's the next 10, you know, we do that all along in every department, so what's the plan 10 years out for the VIC? Is it still going to be in existence, or what are other communities doing that, you know, that can really, so rather than kind of just each year just get the numbers, here's our plan, and our numbers indicate this is why we need a plan.
And that would certainly factor into, you know, budget decisions and so on.
Right.
Yeah, we have been talking about over the last few months how to make that space a bit more dynamic, or how to get out of the VIC and move around a bit more. So certainly, yeah, there will be things like that coming up in the future.
Thank you. Councilor McLeod?
The Brooklyn Marina is definitely an attraction, and they do keep record of the visitors that, and their docking fees and that sort of thing. So those figures would be an advantage to have in your attraction.
It would,
list.
Yeah. I didn't ask Marina for stats for this purpose, but it would be a good one to track for sure. Yeah. Okay, we move on. So final slide, just a few different thoughts. A few things that came out from the Pions conference. So we mentioned the Airbnb, and it's obviously something that is on the tourism industry's mind a lot. To put this in context, as I said, the usage and the number of rooms on the sharing economy is only estimated by the province, but the estimate from 2018 over 2017 was a growth of 85% of the number of rooms available. This is Nova Scotia wide. And the percentage change from 2019 over 2018 was about 44%. So 2019, we've added almost half as again. And so what you can take from that is a number of different things. It's obviously a very popular, something that people are looking for, something that visitors want. It fits with the demographic of the authentic explorer and cultural explorer, authentic experiencer, which are the visitor types to Nova Scotia. That's the kind of being in the community, being part of someone's home, that those visitors are really looking for. A couple of other points. In order to reach $4 billion, it's been estimated that we're going to need to add capacity in room nights of about 5,500 to 7,000 additional room nights in order to be able to get to $4 billion. Okay? That's going to come from somewhere. Obviously, there are pros and cons to the whole sharing economy. I'm not going to get into it right now. But the Minister's Working Group on Short-Term Rentals did present its report in 2018. And it will result in new legislation, which is expected April 2020. So as far as we can gather, there will be a repeal of the Tourism Accommodation Act, and it will be replaced by a Tourism Accommodation Registrations Act, which will require short-term rentals to register, unless they are the primary residence of the person operating the business. Okay. So it certainly goes a long way to addressing some of the downsides of Airbnb and the like, which are things like taking housing stock out of rural areas, which is a big concern. In some people's minds, it doesn't go far enough because it leaves too many loopholes still. We won't get into that right now. But there are changes coming. And one of the changes is actually going to be on municipalities, and so FCM will be looking at those and what it means for, you know, sort of taxable income and property, what's the word? Yeah. So yes, 2.61 billion, biggest revenue ever. Tourism Industry Association is still its focus, or Tourism Nova Scotia's focus is still on Ontario, Quebec, Northeastern US, UK, Germany, and China. China, when we're talking about the idea of doing something new or something that hasn't been done before, it seems that Tourism Nova Scotia's big idea is China. So 2019, we're talking about 1.6 million visitors to Canada. Nova Scotia, we estimate about 5,000. They want to grow that to 50,000. Okay. Last week, there was an announcement of two charter flights for 2020 coming in from Guangzhou into Halifax. And that seems to be the big push. That seems to be the big new. Focus on improving direct flights in general. Brings in goods and services and visitors, but there's also just a general feeling of investment readiness if people can get to Nova Scotia easily. Just to note, M5, a name well known to you, have been selected as Tourism Nova Scotia's marketing agency for a 2-year term with an option of 3 additional 1-year. And I would also mention that there were two competitions that took place at Tyans this year. One was for tourism startups, and one was for rural placemaking. And there were two pitches, competitions that went on. The tourism startup was for $1,000. Second guessing myself now. Was it 4 and 10? Can't remember, anyway. And the second one was for rural placemaking. So there was a number of areas that put pitches in. We didn't find out about these until pretty much the deadline date. So I think it would be something that we would really want to be pushing out if they continue it as an annual thing.
Any follow-up questions on the tourism presentation, Deputy Mayor?
Richard, what was the, everything seems to be going downhill since 2017, that was a banner year. What, was there anything in particular, what was about 2017 that made it a banner year?
I think that was probably a lot to do with it. Yeah,
okay.
I think it was. I think, Canada did get a lot of press in the run-up to 150, I think there were also routes that opened up through Halifax Airport at that time as well. The boat was operational to a point. I think just a combination of small factors and things that it would be very difficult to either replicate or put your finger on to be able to replicate.
Look forward to 175 or 200.
Yeah, or just invent something else.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor
McLeod. Richard, it's interesting to discover that a fair number of visitors that come to Queens County, attractions would be White Point and, our events and that sort of thing, that actually have invested and moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And those are figures that really are not to come into play
mm-hmm.
for the benefits of tourism.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know whether that can be determined what those figures are. It would be on an annual basis, but that's interesting to know that the attractions and the benefit of tourism and could be added to that $2.6 billion.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. And it's long been, for Queens County, when we think about visitor information centres, for example, let's bear that in mind, so a VIC is quite often a shop front for the county. It's not just simply about handing pieces of information out.
Mm-hmm.
Those pieces of information, many people can get them elsewhere. But a lot of people come on vacation prior to making a choice to move to a place. And quite often they'll be getting a vibe. What does the place feel like? Is there stuff going on? How happy are the people? They base their decisions on things like that, and it certainly bears in mind for that.
So when realtors are contacted, there could be some stats from that.
Yeah, they're fairly they hold those stats fairly close to their chest.
Yeah, they
jump
through.
But I think, there are certainly, this is something that's been mooted quite a number of times in terms of working with realtors, as as another primary point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly do take materials away from our department in terms of brochures and, you know, things that are going on. So.
It would be interesting, just when we do the welcome packages, I mean, I know that's not an exact science, but even if you ask when you deliver them, like, why they came, or if it was something that did they visit, you know, and then, but then let us know so that we can kind of keep track of that too, or let Heather know when she sort of does her spreadsheet, she can add that as a...
Councilor Fairley?
Oh, I just wanted to talk a bit about, I was down for Oak Island Inn, Oak Island Tours on, you know, the TV
show. Oh, with
the boat,
yeah.
And, not the inn, but on the island.
Yeah.
And the numbers that they gave out were absolutely staggering for people coming to visit there, and I was wondering whether they talked about that at tie-ins, was it because, you know, it's benefiting everybody, like Lunenburg has no available nights, and they opened up tickets for Oak Island for a tour, and they were sold out, 10,000 tickets, and they were sold out in under 2 minutes, and crashed the website, and so it's... Sometimes it's those little things that really get marketed right.
Yeah.
It just can blow up, and so it's just an example of how to take advantage of those.
Absolutely.
Those
it
things.
Certainly helps if you've got a television show attached.
Oh, absolutely. But there's other things that have been successful, and I just use that one as an example.
Yeah.
Because
there are a number of, I don't recall the Oak Island Tours being mentioned specifically at tie-ins, but there are a number of examples of people doing sort of world-class experience development in Nova Scotia, you know, and there is a Tourism Nova Scotia program to help develop those. It's called the Accelerator Program, and so anyone wishing to develop a world-class experience can apply to that, and be supported financially and with other resources.
Absolutely.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Richard. I know the, I go back to the Airbnb, I go down to Social Housing, they're all worked up because they're saying Mahone Bay and Lunenburg is being decimated by the Airbnb, and they want us to join in and be able to go forward and try to find out ways to be able to control this. I think the Airbnb is a growing trend that we need to work together with. I don't know of too much displacement of rental units that are being taken away to be able to put it in, because a lot of people are opening their homes. That's where I'm seeing mostly with the Airbnbs are opening their homes. They don't want to rent, but they'll do it for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not taking it away, it's bringing it in. And I know even playing tennis and things, I've had how many people come up along and stop and say, oh, you got tennis courts here? And I say, yeah. So we're looking at where we're going to move into the area, and we wanted to know what's here. They want to know what we have. They like the accommodation area of being living in, like living in a home rather than an apartment that you walk in and out of and go in and sleep and get out. They want a home, like, atmosphere. So
I think that's
it's a whole different atmosphere.
It fits the visitor profile.
Yeah, it fits.
And in a number of areas, you know, the rural parts of Nova Scotia, sometimes it's the only available accommodation option. So I think, you know, the minister did have, it was a difficult job, there were pros and cons to both sides. And if you do want the final report of the minister's working group on short-term rentals is available online. And it's a very good summary of the arguments and things that group had to take into account, and the recommendations that came out of it. It was very well done.
The only part of it is, which because it's something new, is some of the things have to make it into a level playing field. That's the whole thing. Make it into a level playing field.
Yep.
So the taxes are being paid appropriately. It's set up right and how it's registered as and all these other things.
That's right.
And it's just a matter of getting it right there.
And I think the government did take its time on taking those findings and making a decision on it. And it may well be that there needs to be tweaks to it as it moves forwards. But I think the new act that's coming along will address most of people's concerns, both for and against.
Can I just bring a follow up? The other thing is that we had gone forward with a display at one time, right? We were going to have that interactive display. Because I think that's the big thing people want to get in and know, if they're coming through to say, well, I wonder where this accommodations, if they could just go along and be able to do it. Maybe if someday we may bring it up to town hall or something like that. That
that's right, yeah. And actually, in the next part of the presentation, we'll actually touch on that.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were finished with your presentation. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Thank you, Richard, for the tourism report, and we'll move on now to 8.2 economic development.
I just have to get some water. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I will stand. Is this working? So we're just going to give a short update on what we've been doing so far this past year. And talk a little bit about what's next, and then open it up for any comments or questions. These were some of the priorities that we focused on in 2019-20, and I'm going to go through these individually, so I'm not going to leave that one up. I'm going to harp on branding just for a minute. I know you've been hearing about it for a year now, but it is one of the most significant priorities that we focused on this year. And for us to move forward in a strategic fashion and help the region as we strive to be vital and sustainable, having a strong brand and a clear message is really critical. So the new brand is being developed, just as a reminder, to help attract new residents, retain current ones, attract more visitors, attract and encourage business investment, and help create efficiencies in our communications. The community engagement was completed over the summer, and we're currently in the latter part of phase three, which is the approval process. Right now, M5 has put together for us a sort of a justification of their choice, and they're also working on some picture ads for us, so that I'll be able to share that with you hopefully at the next council meeting in January. And it was our hope to launch a new brand in early 2020, and we've held off on updating our publications like the Find Your Adventure map, the Lighthouse map, collateral for trade shows. We didn't do a seasonal promotion this year because we really want to come forward and with something strong, so we have held off on doing that, and we don't want to kind of muddle it and have a bunch of publications with what we're currently doing if we're going to have a new brand in January or February, hopefully. Also, we've been working on the waterfront project, so the reimagination of the Liverpool waterfront. EDM Planning was contracted to create a concept plan for us, which they've done, was approved by council. We held a public meeting at the VIC in July, and I think there was about 35 or 40 people there. And we also provided an opportunity for feedback online. The response to the design was overwhelmingly positive, and we have a final design now just for, as a concept. I've been waiting for the results of the flood study, and I've been a bit careful about moving forward because I think it's really important with once we decide what's happening with the floodplain down there. I think we really need to manage expectations and work carefully with stakeholders because we don't want to, you know, them to be disappointed. I just really feel like it's important to build strong relationships and be honest and upfront. So until I know exactly what's happening down there, I've been a bit hesitant about moving forward on that. Richard, business facade program.
The facade program, 12 applications by the May 31st deadline. We approved 6 applications representing an investment of almost $60,000. We do expect all of them to complete fully using our 25,000 budget, and there's a list there of the approved projects. There's actually only one that's still in play, and as you drive past, you'll see that Liz Brown's getting she's completing one strip of siding at a time.
There's some photos just about.
We did get some really great testimonials from business owners who were really very appreciative of this program,
awesome.
And of the value and the things that it enabled them to do. You know, personally, I think the changes at Liverpool Adventure Outfitters have been spectacular. And also April Williams' hair studio looks amazing. She's done a great job.
Councillor Pansy?
Were there some that had applied that didn't get the money?
Yes, there were 12 applications received and only six were approved.
Okay.
Yeah, we picked those six on a number of different criteria, but it was basically the best value or the most impact that we thought would happen,
okay.
The maximising of the money that we had available,
okay.
And also a couple of those applicants had already applied previously.
Councillor McCarthy?
It's great to know that because they had to make a financial contribution commitment themselves,
yeah.
How that certainly has increased the business in the community.
Absolutely.
For building materials and
yeah.
related.
It's worth, you know, the biggest problem with the facade program has actually been finding contractors to carry out the work.
When do we apply for the next round, and do you think we'll get another $25,000?
That's a good question. So the applications last year were in April, just asked whether, I think it's too early to say whether the program's going to continue next year, but it was
from
April.
Us or from the government?
From the government,
okay.
Yeah.
From my understanding, we didn't receive any money from the province.
That's right, yeah. Previously, we'd applied for match funding for $25,000, which, so 2018, we had a pot of $50,000 to disperse. This year, we didn't, that was just pressure of applications, I understand. And so this year we only had a pot of 25,000 to distribute.
But still, it's good. We got almost $70,000 worth
of investment
done.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. So we can.
Well, this is making a real difference to people.
I'm assuming that we can get the criteria. Are we going to do it next year? No. Okay. But the criteria for the current year, that's available somewhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so the application forms and criteria are both still on the website,
okay.
Even though the program effectively is closed for this year, but they're still available.
Just to put, sort of plant the seed to others that might want to apply.
Yep.
It's available.
And if anyone needs clarification on so on, you can always just call,
good.
Come in and see.
Okay.
In 2019, we hired DBL Publishing to do the visitor community guide. They had some really good success securing advertising, local advertising for that, and we were really proud to work with a Queens County business to produce the guide. It was published in April last year. We had 6,000 copies, and it's my understanding that most of those are gone, which is interesting that you mentioned that. They were distributed to VICs around the province as well as hotels, resorts, shops. And it was really great working with them. They were very responsive and just, they were excellent actually to work with. So we are going to work with them again for 2020. And if a new brand is approved, we'll obviously be incorporating that into the design. And we're going to update and replace some of the more dated content that was in this year's guide. This is Dana's world, so I'm going to let her.
So we do some advertising. So I'd say quite a bit of it we do in-house from all different departments. So generally I get direction from whichever department is coordinating the advertising, and they have input as to what they want it to look like and what they want the feel to be. I do up a draft for them. They make any revisions, and these are just some of the advertisements that we've done. But
We do
a fair amount of publication and stuff all in-house. So.
And I'm also going to just mention Heather works with us a lot on our social media, sharing and promoting events and initiatives. She also develops target ads. Around Christmas, we run a series of ads targeted at other provinces in Canada, and she takes care of all that. And I do have access to do the Facebook ads, but she really does an excellent job and is really great at when I just say, oh my gosh, we need to get this out. I totally forgot. And always things go up on time and look really great. So I just wanted to thank Heather for that.
To internet. So the television white space project is fairly much wound down. The equipment's still there and it's still in use. But we gathered pretty much all of the data that we wanted from it. And to be honest, the volunteers and people that were working on that project got pretty fed up banging their head against the wall of trying to get television white space regulation sorted. It's still not licensed for commercial use in Canada. But the North Queens Wireless project's still expanding, so we put the pole on the top of Telford Hill, we ran fibre to it, and NCS Network, which is Emmerich Winkler's company, is using that as the feed to be able to push out to customers. He gathered customers in the local area, which enabled him to then go on to additional repeater sites, and the idea is that we're just going to sort of work outwards from that point of presence for fiber. His service is generally 15 megabits per second download for about $49 a month, which is about as cheap as internet is available in Nova Scotia. It's a pretty good service. Fiber, we're still waiting for Develop Nova Scotia. We were assured that it was going to be October, I think, and I was at a talk by Develop Nova Scotia at the Tyans conference, who said that they expected announcements in the closing weeks of 2019 or early 2020. I'm not holding my breath.
No.
Sorry.
I had lunch at the NSFM conference.
Yeah.
And I was having lunch with or dinner with one of the people that are from Nova Scotia, and I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I didn't bother getting a conversation. She said, we're still waiting for the replies to come back from their thing that they sent out, or what is
it,
RFP.
They did. So the last time that there
was
an update
November,
was
so
that they were approving companies to be eligible to respond to RFPs. I am getting information that some of that is happening behind the scenes, but certainly in terms of how they're going to spend that $200 million, we don't know.
Oddly enough, it used to be $150 million. Is this because it's taken so long?
It's yeah, it's gone up. Yeah.
$200 million.
$193 million.
Yeah. This is one way of adding more money to the project.
You're trying to grow it.
And then, so the last point I would just make, I'm still working with Colin Moodle. He's a volunteer extraordinaire. He's done a huge amount of work. And, you know, we've got great thanks to give to Colin for the work that he's done on this file. But we are looking at three areas, and I just want to reiterate that we are only scoping potential at this point. I'm not wanting to set anybody's expectations too high. But the areas that we're looking at, particularly Port Jolly, Maliga, and Medway River Road, just because those are areas that are highly underserviced, and because of the density of population, are probably further down on the list of priorities for other services.
Councillor Privet?
Just a question, Richard. The tower-ish that they put out in Greenfield.
Yes.
What's the story with that?
Is
it just a waste of time?
No, so they have customers on that tower.
They
that's
actually
an,
have
yeah,
customers.
Yeah, that's Eastlink. So they actually trialed a new service from that tower. So the standard Eastlink Rural Connect package is 1 megabit per second download. With this one, they should be able to offer up to 10 megabits per second download. So anyone who is connected on that tower and buys that package from Eastlink should have a much improved service. problem with Greenfield is, as we all always knew, is that it sits in a dip. And so actually the coverage is fairly limited in terms of the number of people that it can get to. They also don't want to overload the tower or else everybody's service goes down. So it has a number of advantages. One is that it takes some people off the other towers, so they are more likely to get the advertised 1 megabit per second. And also it does help those who can get service from that tower. But yeah,
they just must have the worst salespeople ever, because there's people out there that aren't even aware of that they can.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's
yeah.
The
yeah.
Second question. I know what a Maliga, Katie Hopkins, has been having horrible time with internet.
Mm.
Has something changed out there? Or is that just her personal?
No, it's always been dreadful.
Just shut down. Shuts down completely. Like,
the she once asked the Eastlink engineers if they could install Eastlink Rural Connect to give her 1 megabit per second. And the Eastlink engineer recommended that she'd be better off with a dial-up service.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
oh,
seriously. But that's why, you know, that area down the Maliga Road is an area of concern, yeah.
I just wondered if anything changed, because that it didn't seem to be so drastic as it is now.
No, I think
so
it's just always been very clear.
It's just been going down.
Yeah.
In addition to that, there's a really poor cell service out in that area. Has that ever been a topic of discussion with the providers?
Not really. Not by us. I mean, it's certainly something that people are aware of, and sometimes that can be dual benefit in providing one service where the other service can sort of piggyback on the expansion, but no, for us, or at least for this file, we're concentrating on internet service.
So is there a way to concentrate at some point on the cell service?
It's certainly a possibility, yeah.
There was a tower I think we approved in Middlefield.
Mm.
Is that been
yeah.
That
I don't
was
think
just
it was ever erected
done with that?
As far as I know.
Nothing.
No, it was approved under
was
the development agreement. But
that was through Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it is a service that's certainly needed, for especially for emergency services.
Yes.
So how can we get this started?
Certainly the providers are well aware of their shortcomings on cellular service.
Mm-hmm.
Develop Nova Scotia is very familiar with that. Uh-huh. They have an expert on staff. The provincial money that they have was given to develop Nova Scotia for internet, not cellular.
Okay.
So they're dealing internally with that. So until they actually determine if they're going to free up funding for cellular, there is no money available for that.
Okay.
All right.
So just more
slides. Quickly on this one. I don't know if you're all aware, but application went into ACOA on behalf of the North Queens Board of Trade in collaboration with Parks Canada to develop Caledonia as a service area to the national park, so-called gateway communities that exist on the fringes of national parks. Thank you. To provide goods and services to visitors for the park. So the application that went in is to develop a community plan, but also some market research and promotional material. As I say here, just increasing the stopping power of local businesses and amenities. So everyone up there is very aware of the 65,000 visitors that scoot through Caledonia, and only a small proportion actually stop for either the liquor store or groceries or restaurants and so on. So There's a big opportunity there, and I think this project is about defining what that opportunity might be and helping some of the players shape it up. There's a wider implication for preferred route to get to Kedgy, so that has an implication on Queens County. So to bring people along the 103 and Highway 8, but it also has implication along the wider South Shore as well. Because if the 103 is promoted or is the preferred route to Kedgeree, that's going to impact businesses all along the South Shore. And then ultimately creating the Gateway community as a destination in its own right, if we can improve the amenities and visitor experiences in that area.
Is that something that will be developed before they close the campground this summer, next summer?
So the whole conversation, although it's been an idea that's been in heads for a long time, but it was to working on it was really stimulated from conversations with Parks Canada, Kedgeree, in view of the light of the closure. You know, what impact was that going to have locally?
Mm-hmm.
And there was that realization that there's some things that the North Queens Board of Trade and the region can do to help in the short term for 2020, but really this is taking that thought and taking it further out and saying, okay, well, there are some things that we can do for the short term closure, but let's put some things much more robustly in place for looking into the future.
Are they looking at accommodation for Caledonia to support Kedgeree during that time?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a
huge opportunity to
there is
on.
And already one
yeah.
One registered campground will
good.
Open
in
time for next season.
Nice.
So Councillor Fancy will speak when he comes back, so we'll go for the next day.
We didn't spread these out very well.
Councillor Fancy is back, so
oh.
Perhaps I'll give him a chance to speak now.
Oh, I can? Okay. I'm trying to think there. Back where, with the being a gateway community, is there opportunities, things like this, when we talk about the gas stations, things like that? Is there avenues to look at what could make a gateway community, I guess, in that?
That's certainly one of the drivers behind it. So the a gateway community is about services, goods and services for visitors to a national park, and it's very hard to look past the glaring hole and absence of a gas service for the area when you try and develop a gateway community. So there's work been going on with that with the Board of Trade, and in fact there's a meeting tomorrow evening. Planned unless we get snowed out. So there's certainly work continuing on the whole gas station file.
Thank you.
So our summer ambassador in 2019, Athy Hinchcliffe, joined us from July 1st until the end of August. We had each year the terms of the position change slightly, just depending on what rises to the top. And so for 2019, we wanted some assistance with the public engagement around the branding exercise. We wanted to give a little bit of a shot in the arm to the Liverpool DIC Facebook group and also the Region of Queens Instagram channel. And then also to gather content for the Show Me Map application, which as Councillor Fancy was mentioning about the self-service visitor information. We were using a touch screen at the VIC in Liverpool as a sort of test bed for that until it stopped working, unfortunately. So we are planning to replace it, and we do have an application based on the Show Me platform, which is mostly, or it's a good long way towards being populated. And I can certainly demonstrate that to anyone who's interested.
Councillor Johnson?
Is that position solely funded from the municipality, or is it shared with the province?
It's not shared with the province, other than we usually apply for Canada Summer Jobs support for it. So as a municipality, we're eligible for 50% funding. However, there are some criteria around the person that you take on, and this year Athony didn't fulfil those criteria, so we didn't take that funding up. The the funding, although it's up to 50%, it's never at 50%, so it didn't actually lose us awful much money. And she was the best candidate for the application process.
Okay.
So the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. We've been working with a designer on a sign design, which was approved at council earlier this year. We have also been working with him to gather quotes from sign manufacturers, and we have an appropriate quote. We're hoping to have it created this fiscal and installed in the spring of 2020, but that depends on what the plans are for the land in front of the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. On November 1st, after a call for proposals, we signed an agreement with the Astor Theater Society for the operation and management of the Town Hall, which is great. and we're really looking forward to seeing what exciting things they're going to be doing with those spaces. I know that there's an art show coming up this week and an opening, so it's really nice to see that that's already happening. And before signing it over, we managed the rental of the upstairs room, so this is going to free up some time for Dana, who was largely responsible for keeping that organized. And also, we had the monument in front of the Town Hall cleaned before Remembrance Day this year, and it looks great. And also, as a gift and a thank you for it was Dave Barnes who did the restoration. He also cleaned the sign in front of the Town Hall for free, which was really nice of him. And it looks great.
The lights?
Yeah.
Are you going to mention the lights?
I didn't know about the lights until they went up, so maybe, I don't know.
They
look great, though. They do. They look really
oh
nice.
Oh, my God, how bright are they? It's amazing.
Christmas. So we participated in Christmas on the Mersey again this year and helped support that. What was that?
Nothing.
For our support this year, we were also offered a tree in the park. So staff helped make the ornaments, which were all natural ingredients or natural decor. And then Heather, Dana, Richard, and I went down and decorated it. And it's still looking great. I walked by the other day, and we never lost any decorations, even in all that wind. I mean, so it was really nice to be a part of that and have a tree in the park this year. Do you want to speak about the wreaths?
Just briefly, yeah. So as you may know, last year we had, over the last few years we've had an increasing problem finding somebody, certainly somebody locally, to actually make the 80-ish wreaths that we need. And in fact, last year we had no bidders whatsoever, and we had to go outside of Queen's County to get those wreaths, and they also worked out quite expensive. However, for this year we found somebody who wanted to do it. So we took them up on, and that was Sean Maguire and Patricia Lee in Caledonia, who were happy to supply the 80 wreaths to us for a reasonable cost. And touch wood, if we want to continue, they might be persuaded to do so.
So that said, we are exploring other options. We reached out to a social enterprise locally and also have been in talks with a designer in Halifax. And so far, neither of them have met exactly what our needs are, but we are hopeful to have something in place by next Christmas, and it might involve pulling together a committee that can help with that. And I think it'd be nice for businesses to get involved as well. So whether we leave wreaths in some areas and put some more focus on other areas, I don't know, but we're definitely exploring other options for that. But I will say the wreaths do look beautiful this year.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Sure, we had discussions in the past about decorations that were permanent, that you wouldn't have to go out every year and spend the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still on the agenda?
It's still on the table, but they're very expensive. It would be a really big investment, and we actually had a quote from, because we did want to keep like a relatively local supplier, so even from Halifax, we were quoted between $800 and $1,000 a piece. So it's really, and the ones in the catalogs that we have, they're about the same, perhaps a little less, but it's really, it's a big investment.
Yeah.
Councilor Fancy?
We talked here a while ago, and I didn't even know what we talked about when we talked about the snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I went up in Shelburne, and they have that. They look really pretty cool.
Yeah, they are lovely.
Is that something you're looking at in the future?
Yeah, and we were...
Excuse me? Can we have one conversation at a time on the audio? Thank you.
We were looking, yeah, we have been looking at things like that would be more permanent, that we could use year after year.
But those are the same thing, really expensive?
They're very expensive, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
So the South Shore Regional Airport, I still work fairly closely with the South Shore Flying Club, and in September I went to a meeting in DeBert with two of the members. It was a one-day session focused on the future of municipal airports.
Did not fly,
but yes, would have saved some time. So it focused on the future of municipal airports, the funding and operational issues that come with owning and operating an airport. And there were representatives from several other municipal airports, including DeBert, Yarmouth, Charlottetown, and Digby. And we just shared our own stories about what it means to operate a municipal airport and what the needs are and how difficult it is to generate enough resources to keep them going. So it was an interesting meeting for me, and we're going to keep in touch and meet again in the spring. We also made a decision on hangars and allowed them to sublet, if you remember, that came through council, allowed them to sublet some land for the building of hangars. I'm not sure where they are on that right now, but we just received some updated quotes for a fuel system for the airport, and one of the things that came up at that meeting was the airports who are managing to make some income, it is generated through fuel sales. So I've reached out to our insurance company a couple of times. I haven't heard back from them yet on what our liability costs would be and what the requirements would be for them. But again, that'll be a conversation I'm sure that'll come up around budget. We also took care of the brush clearing this summer on the approach to runway 07, which is the approach that gets used most often. They used some of the maintenance reserve to take care of that, and there was about 800 feet cleared. And then the airport was used for a month this summer by a surveying company, that's two of the pilots right there, and they were based at the airport for about a month. They had fuel brought in and free use of the terminal building.
Councilor Fitz?
Can I ask the company that committed the survey, what company are they working for?
I can't remember off the top of my head the name of the company, but I think it was, they were based in Quebec, or at least the pilots came from Quebec, and I think it was a gold surveying company.
Atlantic Gold, I think, hired the consultant that was in doing the aerial survey. And they have, to my understanding, they have done a little drilling in the Liga area as a result.
Anyway, the reason I say that is I found a quite substantial increase in flying above my house. So
okay.
Good. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Exciting where I'm at.
Councilor Johnson?
Is this the only airport of that group that you met with that don't have fuel on the property or don't supply fuel?
Yeah.
Councilor Frehley?
I guess the question's always been with this airport is how we get the word out there that we actually have an airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I talk to things like with Oak Island and all these people flying in constantly, it just seems that there has to be, again, another strategic plan for the future of how we move forward. And maybe that strategic plan would also allow us to see the benefit of having,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everyone knows, but
yeah.
but if you're actually able to put it in writing and see things that, because I think we're sitting on an amazing, amazing piece of infrastructure, and yet most of the people don't know that,
mm-hmm.
that it's even an option. So, yeah, it seems like we're missing an opportunity there.
Yeah. And I think even like the South Shore Flying Club, they're a group of volunteers.
Yeah.
They definitely punch above their weight, I think, in what they're doing. And they're trying to get the word out there. And they do have a Facebook page, and they're looking at signage opportunities for the airport, because right now the signage is pretty terrible on either side. And... Yeah, so they're, you know, they hold fundraisers, and I think they're also working on a brochure, or thinking about that just as a way to also get...
So any sort of strategic plan would have to come from them, correct?
They're the managers and operators, I guess, so yeah. But I mean, I'm happy to work with them on those kinds of things.
Thank
yeah. We also offered and supported a few workshops and programs this year. Events Nova Scotia came and did a workshop around in preparation for the World Junior Curling Championship, and local businesses were invited to a workshop held on January 30th to learn about the economic impact of event and sports tourism, easy ways that they can leverage those events, and also success stories from other communities. So it was a workshop delivered by Events Nova Scotia and organized in partnership with the region, the South Queens Chamber of Commerce, and the World Junior Curling Committee, but it was a very bad day, and we had about 25 people register, but I think we only had half of that in the end. So that was a bit unfortunate, but still, I think the people who were there found it useful. We supported Tourism Nova Scotia to deliver a tourism experience development workshop here. That was in March, and that was delivered by Tourism Nova Scotia in partnership with the region and the South Shore Tourism Co-op. There was approximately 40 people that attended. It was a full-day session, and it focused on what Nova Scotia visitors want, opportunities to attract new visitors, maximizing your tourism profile, exploring partnerships to grow the business, and tips and tools to create experiences and packages. We also supported the Redefining Retirement Program, and that's a program that's supported by the Department of Seniors and facilitated by the Acadia Entrepreneurship Center and Third Sector Enhancement. We had about, I think, 20 people who showed up initially, and I think 16 finished the program. It happened over a 10-week period. It was once every 2 weeks. There were workshops. This is just from their website. So how they describe the program is, it's shining a light on this amazing group of people and the important role they can play in invigorating communities and rural economy. So speaking about seniors and retirees, there's just a wealth of knowledge and work experience, and it's about helping them to continue contributing to the community and finding their place after retirement. There was some really good feedback from this, so I'm just going to read a couple of testimonials. It's an excellent course. All self-improvement courses have similar activities, but the facilitators here deliver their activities better than any of I have ever experienced. Lots of good ideas to help shape your retirement. If you would like to create a vision for your retirement years, please join this great opportunity. Wonderful time to reflect, plan, and celebrate a wonderful phase of your life. And this program gave me the confidence to face my reality, get grounded, and move forward. And there were several more, but that's just a snapshot of... And then finally, we're working on a mashup weekend through Mashup Labs, and we're hoping to hold that before the end of the fiscal year. Don't know the location, but that will be yet.
End of this year.
End of the fiscal year.
Oh, sorry.
Mashup Labs?
What's a mashup weekend?
It's kind of taking a business idea from the idea point and then shaping out how it might work over the period of a weekend. So I think they have
somebody has an idea, and then there are supports there to help them push through what that might look like.
Speed dating for business startups.
Right.
Speed dating for business startup.
Speed dating for business startup. Okay.
Councillor
Fancy? I just want to bring to your attention too the South Shore Housing. I know Michael Gray's is, they got I think a $13,000 grant for age friendly, and they're going to be coming up even our way with it to try to promote co-living.
Okay, great.
And so that's going to be coming through. It may be through seniors trying to co-live. It might be us trying to get some single parents that have a child to go to where they can't afford to be, because I've had people come to me and say, I can't afford my rent.
Right.
And to be able to get some people to get together to talk and be able to meet and to try to work. So that's coming through. When I hear more, when the dates are coming through this way, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. So regional initiatives that we've been working on, back in, I think, October, the South Shore Business Summit was held at Oak Island. It was a great day, and I had been working with a group of just regional people from Chester, Mahone Bay, Lunenburg, and I was the representative from Queens. Yeah, it was an excellent day of guest speakers and lots of learning and networking. I'm going to let Richard speak to the other three.
So in terms of regional work, so Agriculture Day is an annual. This year will be the seventh annual Agriculture Day, so it's a collaboration with Chester and MODL and the Provincial Department of Agriculture. And in 2020, on Saturday, March 21st, it will be coming back to Queens County. So Agriculture Day gathers about 120-ish people. So that will be coming to the Fire Hall and Business Hub in Caledonia, Saturday, March 21st. I'd also mention it's not the only conference coming to Caledonia in March, because we also collaborate with the Provincial Department of Lands and Forestry and another a group of bodies to bring the Western Woodlands Conference back to Queens County, and that's going to be Saturday, March the 7th. The South Shore Expo will be happening again, and the other sort of big regional initiative that we're involved in, I guess, is the South Shore Tourism Co-op. In particular, we've got Lobster Crawl coming up, which is now the whole month of February, and it's being talked about far and wide, and it's gathering a lot of steam.
Top 10 music festivals.
Yeah.
And also, they at tie-ins, one of the, and you can probably speak more to this than me, but because the summer season for many places is at or near capacity, like the area for growth really is the shoulder seasons in the winter. And there was a session on growing tourism in those off seasons, and not that we should be using that word, but it is a huge area for growth. So they've really changed, I think, policy and
I think that's absolutely true. I think the work that the South Shore Tourism Co-op's done, and the raising the focus on 365 tourism year-round, I think is a good way to be attributed to the South Shore Tourism Co-op. They've changed the narrative within Tourism Nova Scotia. Tourism Nova Scotia previously really only concentrated on summer. Any pictures that came out were always summer sun, you know, they wouldn't accept anything different. And now we've got sessions at the tourism conference that talk about how to adjust to 365. We've got in-touch newsletter articles about developing your shoulder seasons. So I think that's, you know, a long way credited to South Shore Tourism Co-op.
Councillor
Clare?
Is South Shore Tourism Co-op unique, or are there other regions in the province that had similar groups?
So the idea of regional tourism association isn't a new one. You know, that existed here as Destination Southwest Nova, but The difference between what's happened there and the likes of Yarmouth and Acadian Shores, YASTA, Tourism Association, is that South Shore Tourism Co-op is business-led. So it, you know, the executive, the board of directors are business owners and operators. They have some municipal support. You know, I've been in there since day one, but it's business led, and it's business driven, and I think that's fairly unique.
All the stakeholders.
Yeah.
I think it's an excellent organization.
They're doing fantastic work.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. 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 And to be honest, it's a really great group to work with, because the meetings are succinct, they're direct, they rattle through the agenda, they make action items, and people get things done.
And they all have a common ground.
Yep.
Don't want to have.
So what's next? I mean, there's not really an end to any of those projects right now. That's going to be continuing work for us in the next fiscal, and depending on what happens with the branding, I think that's also going to be a huge part of next year in terms of marketing and promotion. And we'll just continue working on those things. New projects, when we start having budget talks, I guess we'll speak more about that, but just things that are, you know, that we've discussed, the VIC and making that more dynamic, immigration, housing, looking at the development of a walking tour app. Yeah, there's a few things on my radar. And also, we don't have a written economic development strategy, but I raised this last year that it's really good for us to have a vision, and we really want Queens County to be a place where people want to live. So often, like when thinking about what our work is going forward, we do think about what outcomes we want. So that would be attracting and retaining people and investment, increasing entrepreneurship, having a sustainable and diversified economy, a strong arts and cultural community, and a strong business community.
Any additional questions on the presentation that we did? Councilor McLeod?
I think it's excellent. Thank you very much for enlightening us on what's happening in your department.
Thank you.
Great things are happening, and your vision is right on. And I like this last economic development strategy. That's all you really need instead of a big document somewhere. You have to really work hard, and you know what the vision is, and I appreciate you sharing all that with us.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you for your presentations today, and we will now take a recess to 11:30. We will resume. We will resume council meeting. We will start off with 9.0, corporate services. We have 9.1, request for funding for New Year's levy. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Johnson.
All right. I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to NSNU Command Mersey Branch 038, Royal Canadian Legion, in the amount of $450 to host New Year's levy on January 1st, 2020, and this is to be funded from other expenses, general government.
Seconded for that, Councilor Fitz. Is there any discussion on this issue? Johnson?
Can I just have some clarity as to how come that doesn't fall under what's it called now? Community investment?
CAO, would you like to respond to that?
It's not sure why it's never funded under that. It's not a grant, I guess. It's a contribution towards an event as opposed to a grant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a sponsorship. So, for instance, we would provide a sponsorship in the form of newspaper ads, you would provide a sponsorship in the form of signage. More of a sponsorship than the grant.
Any other questions? Councilor McLeod?
In that case, then, could it just be added as a line item every year and not just as a request? same as the one for Caledonia, I believe, for their fireworks?
We have no knowledge of what the fee would be through the Legion for this event on the levy. It's changed every year in amount. So they normally send us a request when they determine the amount of the levy cost.
Generally, it's between $450 and $500, has been in the past.
It was $1,500 a couple of years ago.
$1,500?
So it does change considerably, but again, they may decide they're not going to do it. It's one of those issues that we take the lead from their request.
Could it just not be put in an account? If they don't use it, then it's just there, and rather than have
CAO?
To go through this request every year?
I guess it's council's prerogative at the time of budget time. If council wishes to just place a certain amount in the budget for that purpose and let staff deal with it, that's fine. We've always brought it to council for approval, but if council doesn't want to be involved with the approval, if they just want staff to deal with that request every year, we can certainly bring it forward at budget time.
Because it's like you say, advertising, and we don't always approve advertising. So.
That's correct.
It's been a discussion during budget. But today we're dealing with a request, and we have a motion.
I understand that, but it's something for the future.
Any other questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We have nothing under 10.0 engineering and works, nothing under 11.0 finance, under 12.0 recreation and community facilities. We have 12.1 Community Investment Fund Policy Amendments, and I would ask Megan Roberts and Dana Henley to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 12.1? Councilor Hughes?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amended operational policy 11, Community Investment.
Second to that, Councilor Fraley. Would you have anything you'd like to add on this item?
Just that, you know, we've listened the last year to the comments and suggestions that we've heard from not only staff and council, but also the applicants. And we've kind of, well, not kind of, we've taken those into consideration, and what we have before you would be our suggested amendments on those issues.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Fancy?
I just have one question, I guess, and that's the in-kind. And I understand, you know, that the in-kind is very complicated because you have to, it's sort of a complicated sheet of what you have to do and how you do it and everything else. But, and also, too, if you do in-kind, and that ups the value of the contributions to the group, so you have to give it a limited to what you can give them to do there. And I'm just bringing forth the suggestion as such, is that maybe that we could be able to, I'll say this first and then try to say what I'm talking about, is maybe limited to maybe $1,000 to be able to have as in-kind, not in-kind as in someone giving you a stereo or a computer to go along with everything else. It would have to be in kind as in work done by the individual group. The reason I say these things is that most of them do that because it's a, most of the people who have grants do that because of it's the needed value of the money to do the project, which is really small on the big part of it, because it's a big, you know, big project. But the other end is things is to get the people to vote to do the work. When you start a project and you start to do things to get people to come out and volunteer, it's most of the time people who started are the ones that are doing most of the work. But if you've got monies that's there, like to say $1,000, that people will come out to help to be able to do that, to be able to get the money to get back to the project. And I'd say an example of it is like we just did a road cleanup for the dog park. Well, if we just said we're going to go up and do a road cleanup for the dog park, probably we wouldn't get anybody. It would be just a couple of people doing it. But when there's a dollar value attached to it, because you're a not-for-profit, then you get the group to come out because they want to gain the money for the project as you go forward. So there is value in that, you know, that $1,000 gives you $1,000 worth of work that you can get out of the group members to try to, is with every project, there's always a lot of things that need to be done. And you can get that $1,000 worth of work out of the people, not just $1,000 of the money, or $1,000 of what you're going to do, but $1,000 of the work of the people that you can go forward, and that really is a real help. I've been doing this for years, and I know what that means. I mean, we did with the tennis club and stuff. We get the value, say, okay, we're gonna fix up the tennis club. Okay, well, we can count our in-kind work, and all of a sudden we all go there work to get the tennis club up, or get the backboards up, or do things like that. And that money is a value to help start a project.
So my thought on in-kind, as we stated in the paper, is that my recommendation would be not to fund in-kind. If we're going to start giving money for in-kind work, we're essentially paying them to do that work, and then that kind of defeats the purpose of in-kind. So in-kind should be that you're donating it for the better good of the organization that you're working for, and that you're doing it because you want a project to succeed. And I feel that if we fund in-kind, that we are paying for that work to be completed. And we do pay for all materials and supplies. That is an eligible expense as long as it falls under the criteria. So if it's just work that we're looking at, my recommendation would still be that we don't include in-kind.
Okay.